Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at the 13th verse. And one of the company saith unto him, that is to the Saviour, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Division over family inheritances is nothing new. It was taking place even way back then, when the Lord was here upon the earth. Speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Just ending our reading there, the 21st verse. And we know the Lord will follow with his blessing this afternoon, the public reading of his word. As I mentioned to you, and some of you were aware of it previously, I mentioned that this morning I was brought up on a farm just outside Carriduff, between Carriduff and Sainfield. I had very happy memories of those times. And I intended to be a farmer. I spent some time at Locker Agricultural College. And one of the features of the time spent in Lochry was the farm visits that we went on. They took us all over the province to visit different types of farms. One of the farms they took us to was down at Castle Dillon, outside Armagh. It was then a ministry farm. I didn't realise that many years later I would minister in that area, and that a family in the congregation would actually own that farm, bought from the ministry themselves. But even after the time in Lochry, we for a few years went on farm visits. One of the most memorable was down Dunleith's estates, just outside Ballywalter. And isn't it true, I know the farmers in the congregation this afternoon, you would verify, farmers like to go on such visits. They like to visit someone else's farm. They like to hear the details and reports of how someone else's farm is doing. Go and see the machinery. Go and look at the buildings. Take a walk around. See what sort of stock they have. And when you go on a visit like that, you ask all sorts of questions. What sort of prices have you had this year? What sort of harvest did you have? And in this meeting, men and women, for a little while, I'm going to take you on a farm visit. We're going to go and visit the farm that we've read of here in this portion in Luke chapter 12. I want you to come and visit this farmer with me. And I want you to come and see, take note, look very carefully at all that is taking place on the farmyard at this particular time. And especially it's relevant to this season and to this meeting. As we visit this farm, I want us to ask this question, men and women. What sort of harvest did this man have? Remember, it was harvest time. They were bringing in the harvest. The barns couldn't hold the crops that were being gathered in. It was harvest time. So we want to ask, we want to think for a moment or two, what sort of harvest did this farmer have? I want you to notice, first of all, it was what you could call a bumper harvest. If you look there at verse 16 of the chapter, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. This farmer had a good year. That may be true of maybe all farmers this past year, but this farmer certainly had a good year. The crops were excellent. The yields from the crops, they were very big. It was true to say, men and women, that this farmer had never had a harvest like this before. He found himself in a situation that previously had been unknown to him. The yields, they were way beyond what he'd ever expected, what he'd ever anticipated, and anything that ever he had known. Never in all his years in farming, never in all the years that he'd been working the land, had he ever before had a harvest like this one. If ever, men and women, there was a record year, this was it. If ever there were record tons to the acre, well, this farmer just experienced it. If ever there was a harvest that could be described as a bumper harvest, well, here it was. It was a prosperous harvest for this man. If you look at verse 16, it says, the ground of a certain rich man. Does that not indicate he was already rich? He was already wealthy, even before this harvest? Well, his wealth had just multiplied. This man had just made a fortune. Here's a farmer, maybe a rarity in the days in which we live, but this farmer had no cash flow problems. He'd have a very happy bank manager. As a businessman, he was a success. As an individual, he had it made. It was a very prosperous harvest. And perhaps this year for you has been exactly the same. You think of all that has happened on the land, the good year, the good weather, the gathering in of the harvest, or maybe whatever business you find yourself in. If it's not farming, there's a time when you do well in business, just like a harvest time for you. Whatever work, whatever business you're in, maybe you could say this year has been a prosperous year for you as well. But let me say this, men and women, before we get carried away with all of this money, and before we get carried away with the size of this man's bank book, let's ask this vital question. What is life all about? What is the real purpose for living? Is life all to do with money? Is there nothing more to your existence upon this earth than amassing wealth and accumulating property? Well, really, that's what this man thought. If you look at the words of the Saviour in verse 15, and in that 15th verse, the Saviour is sounding a warning. This is what he says. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What the Saviour is teaching to us, men and women, life is not all to do with possessions. Life is not all to do with money, with business, and with profits. Do well to remember that, to learn that afresh today. There's something, men and women, that's far more important. You see, the message of the parable, the purpose for which the Saviour told it, is to teach that the real purpose of life is to get your soul into a right relationship with God. He said in verse 20, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can I tell you something, men and women? God's more interested in your soul than he is in your substance. And so should you be as well. I hope you see that this afternoon. I heard a story on one occasion of two men attending a funeral of a very wealthy man. You know what happens at funerals, that they walk down the road as part of the cortege and conversations begin. Often things are said at times like that, conversations engaged in that are completely out of place. These two men were talking about the wealthy man that had just died. And after a little while in the conversation, the inevitable question came around. I wonder how much he left, one said to the other. And the other man replied very wisely, he left everything. And wasn't that so true, men and women? I wonder, did you ever realise that? There's a day coming, men and women, and you're going to leave it all behind. Did you know that Alexander the Great requested that when he was buried, that he would be laid to rest with his hands upon his chest and the palms outward? And the reason for that was he wanted everybody to know that despite the greatness of his kingdom and the wealth that he had amassed and all the nations and kingdoms that he had conquered in a short life upon this earth, he wanted men and women to know he left this world with nothing. Absolutely nothing. You look at the words at the end of verse 20 there. Who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I wonder, men and women, did you ever think of that? When you're dead and gone, taken from this scene of time, whose then shall those things be which thou hast provided? One thing's certain, they'll not be yours. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, absolutely certain, we will carry nothing out. Regardless of how rich you become, men and women, there's a day coming, and you're going to leave it. You'll leave it all behind. I'm sure you're familiar with the name of Steve Jobs. He was, for a number of years, the CEO, the driving force behind the Apple Macintosh computer company. Died, was it something over a year or so ago? Did you know when he died, he was estimated to have been worth something like $7 billion. Vast amount of money. Very wealthy man. But remember, he left it all. Didn't take any of it with him. And the same will be true of you when you die. Not one penny of all that you own, not one thing, my friend, of all that you possess, will you take with you from this world. There's only one thing that you possess that you'll take with you from this world, and that's your soul. And it's vital that you make sure this afternoon it's well with your soul. As the year's wearing on and the harvest gathered in, you might be able to say today it's well with your bank balances. It's well with your profits, it's been a good year. Well with the finances, and it's well with the business. And how good that is, cause to give thanks to God today. But is it well with your soul, men and women? Is it well with you in the light of eternity? Because remember, when you come to die, that's all that will really matter. That's the only thing that will matter. You'd had a bumper harvest. I want you to see as well, he had a busy harvest. You look there at verses 17 and 18. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Isn't it true to say that farms are busy places at the best of times? But they're exceptionally busy at harvest time. Harvest is very busy in an ordinary year. You think of how much busier it would be in an exceptional year like the one that we're reading off in this portion. The extraordinary harvest meant there was an extraordinary amount of work to be done. Extra loads of crop and grains that would have to be brought in from the field. It would take more time, it would take more more effort in order to bring this harvest in. It was a busy time. In addition to bringing in the harvest, he's launching out into a building program, pulling down his barns, building greater. He's redesigning, he's enlarging the farmyard. So it's clear, men and women, all his energy, all his time, it's taken up with his business. This is a very busy harvest for this farmer. But can I tell you something about him? And that is, he was too busy. Did you get a hold of that, men and women? This man was too busy. Did it strike you God's estimation of this man? Verse 20, God said, "Thou fool." Isn't that interesting? Because in men's eyes, this farmer was wise. As the world looked on, he was a success. He was a good thinker. He was a good planner. All his neighbours, all his colleagues would have said, "He's an able manager. He's an astute businessman." That's what men thought. But in God's eyes, he was only a fool. Why was that, men and women? Why did God describe him in that way? It's because he was so busy that he'd forgotten about God. He'd forgotten about his soul, forgotten about salvation. Not even a thought for eternity. Did you see the words there? It's found, verse 17. "I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Think of those two words. No room. And you know, men and women, those two words sum up this man's life. There was no room in his farm to get the harvest in. But more important and more seriously, there was no room in his life for the things of God, and no room in his life for the gospel. Let me read verses 17 and 18 to you again. And let me just add a little bit of emphasis as we read down through the words this time. You look at them. Verse 17, "He thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years.'" So it's interesting, men and women. Not a mention of God. Not a mention about eternity. He's a selfish man. He's a self-centered man. He's just taken up with himself. Taken up with his business. Taken up with his plans. Taken up with his farm. I tell you again, he was too busy. And I wonder, men and women, this Sabbath afternoon, do those words describe you? Too busy. Too busy for God. Too busy for the gospel. Remember the words of the old hymn, "Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ, the crucified, there's not a place that he could enter in your heart for which he died." Is that you, my friend? There's not a place in the Lord, or not a place in your life for the Lord, for the things of God. Can I ask you just to stop and realize that's a plan and ploy of the devil? The last thing, men and women, the devil wants is for you to think about the things of God. The devil wants you to be too busy, too engrossed in your work, too taken up with worldly things. He wants to divert you away from the house of God. He wants to divert you away from the Bible and from the gospel. The last thing the devil wants is for you to have time for the things of God. He wants you to be too busy for church, too busy to hear the gospel, too busy to come to the gospel meeting. And he wants you to be too busy to get right with God. Too busy, my friend. I wonder, is that a description of you? Well, if it is, there's one more thing I want to tell you about this man's harvest. It was a bumper harvest. It was a busy harvest. But you know, the Bible says it was a brief harvest, because he wouldn't live to see the end of it. And the fact is, he would never live to see another. Look at verse 20. "Thou fool, this night," not this week, not this month. The Lord said, "This night, thy soul shall be required of thee." Think of it, men and women. This was the last harvest he would ever see. Not only would he never see another bumper harvest, the fact is, he would never live to see any other harvest. His best harvest was his last harvest. And you know, we can bring it in a wee bit closer still, because not only would he not see another harvest, the fact is, he wouldn't even see another day. God said, this night, it's this night you're going to die. In just a very short space of time. He, like many, thought he had plenty of time. He talked there about the many years, much goods laid up for many years. That gives the indication that he was a young man, looking forward, looking out on life. He thought he had all the time in the world. He thought he had many years of life still in front of him. But the reality, men and women, his life was as good as over. He had only a few hours left to live. He was too busy for the things of God. And before he knew it, he was dead and buried. And his soul was in hell. And you know, men and women, that could be your situation as well. Maybe your life is almost over. I read about a tombstone. There was an engraving on it. The tombstone was in a cemetery just outside the city of London. It had these words: stop and think. I am in eternity, and you're on the brink. And that's where you stand this afternoon, men and women, all of us. You can maybe think of loved ones since last harvest that have been taken out into eternity. Well, you need to stop and think this afternoon, because you're on the very brink, the very edge of eternity. As David said to Jonathan, there's just a step between you and death. Isn't a step the shortest part of the journey? And that shows you just how little distance there is between you and the next world, this world and the next. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. When something that is at hand, it's almost upon you, it's right beside you. And maybe that's how it is with you, men and women. The time of your departure, it's almost upon you. You ready to go? You think of Jeremiah. He said to Hananiah, Hananiah was a false prophet in Jerusalem in his day, and he gave him this solemn message: this year thou shalt die. Before another year is up, another 365 days have run their course, before the next harvest comes around, you're going to be in eternity. If God was saying that to you today, think of how solemn that would be, men and women. But listen, what if God were to say to you, not this year, but what if God were to say to you what he said to this farmer? This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Instead of having weeks and months to live, what if you only had a few hours left upon this earth? And remember, that could be your condition. Don't you fool yourself today. Don't be the fool that this man was. Remember, as the Bible says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You think you know what tomorrow will bring. You hope you know what tomorrow will bring across your path, what tomorrow will unfold. But the reality, you could be dead tomorrow. You may not even live to see tomorrow morning dawn. The death angel could come tonight to describe it or set it forth in the analogy of the harvest. The grim reaper could come this very night and cut you down and take you away. Do you ever ponder the question, men and women, whose death will be next in this congregation? Ever think of that? When a funeral takes place, a death visits the community or visits the church. Did you ever take the time to ask whose death will be next in this congregation? What if it were yours? What if you were the next one to be taken from this scene of time? I want you to think as you sit in the gospel meeting, men and women, this could be your last day on earth. These could be the last few hours, the last few minutes that you'll ever live. That's how it was with this man. The last few hours, and for you it could be the same. And I wonder if you were to die today, if you were to die tonight, where would your soul go? Would your soul go to heaven, or would it go to hell? Would you go out into eternity to experience eternal life or eternal death? Which would it be? Would it be well, my friend? Well with your soul? If you're unsaved, then I urge you, you make the time to get saved now. Make the time to get saved today. I tell you, this is a finish. Nicholson, W.P. Nicholson, grew up in a Christian home down in the town of Bangor. As a young man looking out at the sea and the ships, he had a great longing to become a sailor. His mother tried to deter him, but the longing in his heart was so great that eventually she had to let him go. She was very concerned. What caused her to be concerned was the company that he would get into, the influences that would bear upon his life, and the things that he would be encouraged to do and get involved in. And all of those fears came to pass. When Nicholson joined the Merchant Navy, he became a wild man, lived a wild life. But you know, he said, in all those years at sea, the Spirit of God continued to speak and strive in his heart. He knew the gospel, knew he needed to be saved. And in all of those years of sin, the strivings of the Holy Ghost followed him wherever he went. It's a very interesting story how he came home again. He left the Merchant Navy when he was in South Africa. He worked for a time on the Cape Town to Cairo railway. He was working with another man from Northern Ireland, and he said to him one day, maybe we'll go home. And Nicholson just thought of it for a minute or two, and he thought that was a good idea. So they made their way home. While he'd been at sea, he'd never written to the family. They had written to him, but he had never written back. And he wrote his mother a letter to tell her he was coming home, that he would come into Bangor on the 11 a.m. train. He actually put in the letter 11 p.m. He made a mistake. And when he arrived in Bangor in the morning, there was nobody at the train station to meet him. And he thought the reason for that was because the family had disowned him, because he had kept no contact with them all the years that he was at sea. But he decided when he'd come so far, he would walk out into the country, walk out the road, just to see the old homestead where he was brought up one more time. And as he walked up to the gates, his dear mother walked out with a basket of washing to the line. And she looked down to the gate and she saw her boy. And she dropped the washing and ran down and embraced him and brought him in. He was home for a few days, and he was sitting at the breakfast table one morning. He was smoking a cigarette at the time. His mother was preparing breakfast. And as he sat there that morning, the Spirit of God speaking and striving in his heart, he felt the Lord said to him, Billy, it's now or never. If you don't get saved now, you don't get saved today, you'll never be saved. So just sitting there at the table, he lifted his heart to God and cried to the Lord for mercy. It was the 22nd day of May 1899. He said to his mother, she had her back turned to him, working away at the sideboard, Mother, I've got saved. She says, when? Where? He says, Mother, just here. Just now. And you know, men and women, Maybe the same could be true of some in this meeting this afternoon. The Spirit of God has spoken to you for many years. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God can and does withdraw the strivings of his spirit from the hearts of unconverted people. For you men and women, as you sit in this meeting, it could be now or never. If you don't get saved now, we emphasised that word this morning in the meeting. If you don't get saved now, today, in this service, this Sabbath afternoon, then who knows, you may never be saved. You may step over the deadline in this meeting. I urge you, men and women, to settle, be sure beyond all doubt before you walk through those doors. Settle the matter of your soul's salvation, that you know that you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven, that you're on that narrow road that leadeth unto life. Now, Phil, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? May God bless his word today to every heart.